Yesterday, we were guiding all of you on a meditational parikrama of Shigiriraj. And do you remember where we left off? Aniyar. Now, tomorrow, beginning very early morning, we're going to be preparing boga to offer to Sri Giriraj. We'll bring the boga right, actually, to the lotus feet of Sri Giriraj and offer to Govardhan Mountain. And how many stoves are going to be set up? Can anyone tell me? There will be 150 stoves set up in a field. So it's a great celebration. And there'll be so much nice smoke from the wood of Vrindavan and the cow dung patties of Vrindavan that will purify our lungs and purify our eyes and purify our hearts. And then we'll take all of those offerings and offer them to Sri Giriraj. And we're doing this following in the footsteps of Krishna and the great acharyas, Madhavendra Puri, Sripad Vallabhacharya. They offer this anukuta, mountains of bhoga, to Sri Giriraj. And we will be doing it in what is called Anukuta Kshetra, between Dana Nivartan Kund and Shankarshan Kund. So, going back to our parikrama, we come to Govinda Kund. Here, as we described on the day of Sri Govardhan Puja, after Indra, the most powerful deva in the region of Swargaloka, he received such special mercy from Krishna. Konteya pratijanehi name bhakta pranashyati. Krishna promises in the Gita. In fact, he tells Arjuna, you promise, I will protect my devotee. Aham bija pratapita. Krishna is the supreme father and mother of all living beings, and he especially takes concern for his devotees. How Krishna protects his devotee is not necessarily according to the order form that we may fill out. Krishna gives us what we need. If what we want is what we need, he may give us that too. Indra has a very, very powerful service. But like so many devotees historically, big or small, the more we gain prominence, the more we gain expertise, and people begin to honor us, the more we're vulnerable to the basic anartha of Maya, which is ahankar, the ego. To be humble, one has to really surrender. You see, the current of material existence is flowing very strongly toward the ocean of birth and death, ignorance. If we want to make spiritual progress, we have to swing upstream. If we just are sincere, Krishna tells in the Gita, Ananyas Chintayanto Mam Yejana Paryupashate, that if you're just sincere to surrender in this upstream current, I will preserve whatever little you have, and whatever you lack, I will compensate. I will take you up. That is Pushti Marg. That is the path of grace. That is the basic principle of all the Vaishnav Sampradayas. That we are hopeless without grace. We can't connect to that grace and access that grace unless we humble ourselves. But sometimes the fruits of what we gain through practicing bhakti can distract us by making us proud. I'm a great devotee. And that's what happened to Indra. And Krishna organized this incredible pastime of taking all that was supposed to be offered to Indra, and it was going on for generations, and offering it to Govardhan Hill. Now for the Brijabasis, whatever makes you happy, Krishna, that's all that matters. For all of us, it's the most incredible, blissful festival that has ever been performed. And in every temple of Krishna throughout the world for the last 5,000 years, there's dancing and singing and mountains and prasad celebrating Govardhan Puja. But for Indra, it was just the medicine he needed. First of all the anartas within his heart came out in front of everybody. This great king of heaven, who everyone thought was so cool and so self-realized and so spiritually advanced and so Atmarama, self-satisfied in so many ways. Krishna just knows exactly where the disease is. And he just went right there to that ego. And Indra lost his intelligence totally. He became like a madman. Destroy the cows, destroy the calves, destroy the peacocks, destroy the gopis and the gopas. This talkative little 7-year-old boy is disrupting my fame, my prestige, what is mine. And everyone was watching. Indra's a madman. And Krishna could have taken the form of a Virat Rupa. He could have done so many ways. But to totally crush into fine powder all the ego of Indra, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill as a child picks up a mushroom. I have seen even 2-year-old little children pick up mushrooms. Yes? Effortlessly. That's how Krishna lifted Govardhan Mountain. And then he held it. What's the weakest part of your body? Your little finger. The tip of his little finger. For 7 days and 7 nights. And Indra couldn't move a single grain of dust from the hill. Couldn't remove a single leaf from a tree. And Govardhan was in ecstasy being touched by the little finger of Krishna's left hand. He didn't even notice the storms and the lightning bolts crashing against him. and the animals on Govardhan Hill, even though the rains were pouring on it, the animals were happy and dancing around because Krishna was just energizing Giriraj so much that just being in contact with Giriraj, the animals on the mountain were happy and dancing, and they were just looking at the clouds. It was like a nice bath for them. Yes, Indra's pride was crushed. And there's a place around Govardhan Hill. We're going to skip ahead. Then we'll come back to Govindakund. Indra went back to his palace after being totally defeated. He couldn't talk to anyone. He couldn't eat. He couldn't sleep. He felt so miserable. He just made a total fool out of himself. And worse than that, he realized Krishna's my worshipable Lord, and I tried to destroy him. What a fool I am. This is the sign of a devotee. When you make a mistake, you don't try to justify it and make excuses about it. You learn from it. You become humble. Indra's a great devotee. He made a severe mistake, but Krishna transformed that mistake into a blissful 7 days where he and all the Brijabasis just performed beautiful, loving pastimes over Govardhan Hill, day and night. But Indra realized, I was so wrong. He was so repentant. But he didn't know what to do. So he went to his guru, Brihaspati. Brihaspati said, you are a fool, Indra. What did you do? There's nothing I can do for you except go to Lord Brahma. He can help you. Indra went to Lord Brahma. Brahma said, just recently, I also made some pretty serious mistakes. There's nothing I can do for you. But Surabhi, the mother of the cows, she loves Krishna with her gentle motherly affection, and Krishna loves her. If you want to be forgiven from your mistakes, you must go to those innocent, pure-hearted devotees who love Krishna. If she prays for Krishna to forgive you, then Krishna will forgive you. This is a very universal principle. Kaliya was very demoniac. He killed all the gopas. He killed Krishna's little calves, cows. He poisoned that lake near the Yamuna, and they drank it. And they died. And any bird, innocent little Brijavasi bird that flew over that lake, just the fumes of it, they fell in and died. And all the trees of Vrindavan around that lake were dying. He was really nasty, mean, horrible, demoniac person. And Krishna, he saw his little friends dead, and he glanced upon them and gave them life. That's very important. Spiritually, we are all dead. Because really, what is death? There's no such thing as death. For the body, it's always dead. It's the soul that gives life to it. And when the soul leaves the body, the soul's not dead. Basam sijanani yata vihaya, the soul goes on to another set of clothes. And the body just, the elements of earth, water, fire, air, and ether just merge into the universal elements. It's just a change. Death is an experience of forgetfulness. So yes, in this material world, we have forgotten our eternal lives. We have forgotten who we really are. So from a spiritual perspective, most everyone in this world are like the living dead. But how to wake up to our true life? When Krishna casts his glance upon us, the glance of his grace, he gives us our eternal, all blissful life again. And then Krishna jumped in the lake. He started swimming around. And he was just a little boy, but he was splashing in such a way that he was making big waves. And this Kaliya, who had many hoods, was a gigantic serpent. He couldn't tolerate who dares to enter my lake. So he came and attacked Krishna. He bit Krishna. And then he wrapped his coils around Krishna. Krishna's just a little cowherd boy. And Kali is a monstrous serpent. Now, when you walk around Govardhan at night, just when we were doing Govardhan Parikrama, my dear beloved friend Shyamdas Ji, who has come, let us welcome him, and Dhanadhar Swami Maharaj is here. Shyamdas Ji was telling Dhanadhar Swami Maharaj and myself how he and Mohan Ji, who is also here, our Brijavasi guru, how a black cobra crossed their path. Now, if a black cobra slithers right toward you, what is your emotion? Now, this is a cobra about this thick, maybe 2 inches thick, maybe 6 feet long. Just a little snake. But Kaliya was a monstrous serpent who had the venom of millions of cobras. And he wrapped his coil around Krishna. And all the gopas and all the calves, cows, they were looking at Krishna in that helpless situation, and all they could do was fall unconscious. And Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj started seeing all kinds of inauspicious omens, and as soon as they saw that, they were thinking, what's happening to Krishna? And they came running out, and Balaram came with them, and they saw Krishna in the coils of Kaliya. And Krishna made himself look so totally helpless. Just a sweet, innocent little child, helplessly in the coils of this monster that's breathing poison. And Yashoda Mai wanted to go in and fight against Kaliya. But the gopis had to stop her. And then Nanda Maharaj and all the others wanted to jump in and either save Krishna or die. But they couldn't tolerate seeing Krishna in this situation. But Balaram stopped them all. Balaram said, when I come as Sheshanaga, Krishna doesn't play with me like this. What is the danger of Krishna from this insignificant, tiny little water snake? That was Balaram's perception. And after putting the Brijavasis in such intense anguish of worry and concern for Krishna, increasing their bhava, increasing their love, that's why Krishna does this. Because prema, bhava, is something that is dynamic. And Krishna puts us in situations, sometimes extremely pleasing situations, and sometimes extremely painful situations. But those painful situations are ecstatic because they increase the intensity of our absorption in our love for Krishna. These Brijabasis were so absorbed in such overflooding, uncontrollable feelings of love for Krishna, they were falling unconscious and getting up and falling unconscious and getting up and falling unconscious. And when they were on the verge of death, Krishna just expanded himself a little, slipped out of the coils, and danced on the hoods of Kaliya, one at a time. And what a beautiful dance. Krishna's Vrindavan Natabara. He's the most graceful dancer of Vrindavan. Now some of us, we like to dance, but sometimes there's some holes in the ground, and sometimes it's an uneven surface, or sometimes it's a hard floor, and we think, how could I dance here? But Krishna, nothing could limit his beautiful dance. He was dancing on these slippery hoods of Kaliya. And even the dancing apsaras of the heavenly planets were coming down to learn how to dance from Krishna when he was dancing on Kaliya. One head after. His feet are so soft that Yashoda Mai is in anguish during the day, thinking that Krishna's soft little lotus feet, if they step on a pebble or a thorn, it will make them change colors and cause him pain. They're softer than anything in all of creation. Krishna's lotus feet are the softest of all soft things. Softer than fresh butter. Softer than the most tender lotus leaf, softer than a very newly formed leaf from a tamal tree. So tender. And the gopis, they are feeling that if I put Krishna's lotus feet on the very softest part of my whole body, compared to his lotus feet, it's so hard it may cause him pain. That's how his feet are to his devotees. But yayata mam prabhajante, Krishna reveals himself according to how we approach him. To Kaliya, every time Krishna touched him with his feet, it was like a massive thunderbolt crashing against his head. To the Brijabasis and everyone else watching Krishna, he was going with his feet dancing, very sweet rhythm. I'm sorry about that. But to Kaliya was, it was crushing him. And one of his heads, all of the poison started, he was vomiting out all the poison. I'm not going to imitate that one. And then after all the poison's out, he starts vomiting blood. That one's not so bad. And then after he vomits all his blood, the head is just completely deflated of life and it just falls. And then another head comes to attack Krishna, and Krishna jumps on that head and dances. Until all of the heads of Kaliya are devastated, crushed, and Kali is in a completely helpless condition, and he actually realizes that I'm finished. And for the first time in his entire life, he became humble. At that point, the Nagapatnis, the wives of Kaliya, who were great devotees of Krishna, they came with folded hands to offer prayers to Krishna. Their prayers were, our husband is such a mean, nasty, cruel person. We're your devotees, Krishna. When you were dancing on his head, we were thinking, yes, very good, let him die. Because then he'll be liberated. But now, for the first time in our lives, we're seeing that he's humble. He's actually looking at you to take shelter. So please give him your shelter. After all, he's a snake, and snakes are by nature envious like this. So he's just acting according to his nature, but by your mercy, the same beautiful purifying lotus feet that Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva and the goddess of fortune are always seeking to get shelter of, the greatest sages and rishis and yogis, they are yearning and longing, sometimes lifetimes of austerity, to even get a glimpse of your lotus feet. And those same lotus feet have been dancing incessantly on the head of our husband. He's become purified. He's become humble. Please give him your mercy, my Lord. And Kaliya listened to his wives. And Krishna turned to Kaliya, and Kaliya offered prayers of surrender to Krishna. What was his refuge? It was the prayers of the Nagapatnis. The prayers of these, his wives, who were great devotees, that actually facilitated him to be totally forgiven for all of his misdeeds. And according to the Puranas, Kaliya was given such a high position, he had to leave Vrindavan. But sometimes instead of riding Garuda, Krishna rides Kaliya. He got to be Krishna's servant, eternal servant. In the story of Jagai and Madhai, they were murderers, thieves, they were burning houses, they were raping women, they were drunkards. They were slaughtering animals and drinking their blood and eating them. They were doing all kinds of things. They had no respect for anyone. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was standing before them with his Sudarshan Chakra about to sever their heads. And Lord Nityananda, who they just tried to beat to death, Lord Nityananda prayed to Lord Chaitanya, please, spare them. In other incarnations, we came to kill demons. But as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, we have not come to kill any demons. We have come to kill the demoniac tendencies in people and give them prema bhakti. By Nityananda's prayers, Jagai and Madhai were given Krishna Prem, the highest perfection of life, where they could lovingly experience the spiritual world while chanting the holy name. Lord Brahma has been around from the beginning, and he'll be around till the end of the universe. He knows. And he told Indra, Surabhi, Krishna loves her, and she loves Krishna. If she prays for you, then Krishna will forgive you. This is an eternal principle. Srila Prabhupada, he would tell us that Srimati Radharani is not only the eternal loving consort of Krishna, his pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti, But she's the mother, the loving mother of all living beings. And if we take shelter of Sri Radha in her motherly nature, by being the servant of the servant of her servants, with a sincere intent to improve ourselves and to please those who she loves, then Sri Radha will approach Krishna and say, please forgive this devotee for whatever he or she has done, and please accept this devotee as your own loving servant. Give this devotee your love. And Krishna must accept the will of Sri Radha. Srila Prabhupada asked us, or we asked him, what was our qualification for understanding the Leelas of Vrindavan? He said, you have no qualifications. He said, with all humility, he said, I made your qualifications. Because when we become the servant of the servant of the servant, Sri Radharani appeals for us. And Krishna must accept. This is the motherly aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that we approach. When we chant this Maha Mantra, Hare is a call for Sri Radha. Hara. Krishna is Hari, who steals away all of the inauspiciousness from our hearts and then steals our hearts. Through the path of bhakti, the sour yogurt of our consciousness is churned. Through our sadhana, through our seva, it's churned into sweet butter. And then Hari, Makanchor, steals our hearts. But Sri Radha's Hare, because she steals the heart of Krishna through her love. So first we approach Sri Radha, and when she is pleased, then Krishna naturally, spontaneously accepts us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So this principle, Brahma understood. So here is Indra, the king of heaven, coming to this mother cow, begging for her mercy. And Mother Cow says, of course I will help you. Let's go to Brajbhumi. And there's a place called Surabhi Kund. We stopped for a few minutes there. I really wanted to speak, but I had a very sore throat. And I really wanted Dhanadhar Swami Maharaj, my very, very beloved senior godbrother, to speak. But he was just so totally immersed and absorbed in some bhava of bhakti that he didn't speak. So Vishwaroop, he spoke so nicely. But it was there at Surabhi Kund that Surabhi approached Krishna. She told Indra, you stay and let me speak to Krishna. And with such sincere, loving heart of compassion to Indra, she knew what Indra tried to do to all of her children, the cows. She knew what Krishna tried to do. I mean, what Indra tried to do to her beloved Lord, Krishna. But still, even though it was a very personal thing for her, what Indra tried to do to her beloved Lord, to her beloved descendants, the cows and the bulls and the calves, and to all of the devotees who she worships, like Nanda and Yashoda, But when she saw that Indra was repentant, with her heart, she appealed to Krishna to accept him. And Krishna accepted him. If a fallen soul thinks that we can approach Krishna directly, it's very difficult. Because really, there's so many walls of ego between us and Krishna that we don't even... The less we know about this ego is the evidence that there's more. Yes? When you're in total darkness, you don't see all the walls in front of you. As the light comes, you see more and more. There's so many walls. Indra realized, by the grace of Sarabhi and Krishna, the light had shone, and he realized what he had done. So we must go through the Krishna's devotees to receive his grace. And then the doors to the highest liberation open. Then Krishna came and offered his prayers to Krishna. And Krishna listened. 7-year-old little boy. He told Indra, you know, don't do these things again. How many times? Indra wanted the whole universe to know that Krishna is my Lord. I am his humble servant. We want to perform the Abhishekam. And Sarabhi said, we don't care about any other Indra but you, Krishna. You are our Indra. And it was at Govinda Kund that it was the official statement to the whole universe that Krishna is the Supreme Lord of all lords. Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Vayu, Varuna, Agni, Yamaraj, Kuvera, and everyone else, the Apsaras, the Gandharvas, the various sages and the rishis and the wives of the sages and the rishis, they came with gifts to offer to Krishna. Sarabhi, with her own milk and the milk of the Sarabhi cow, she performed the Abhishekam of bathing Krishna. And Airavata, the white elephant carrier of Indra, brought water from the Akash Ganga, the Ganga of the heavenly worlds, and bathed Krishna with that. There were 108 kuns from 108 prominent devatas with that water that washed Krishna around Govardhan Hill. Some of them are still there today. And they had beautiful arati and beautiful thrones, and Krishna was coronated as Govinda. His eternal name in the spiritual world of Goloka descended through a divine voice proclaiming that Krishna is Govinda. One who gives the highest pleasure to the senses, to the cows, and to Mother Earth. And one who engages their senses in the loving service of Krishna. Sarvopadiva nirmutam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktirutam. By just engaging our senses in the service of the Supreme Lord of the senses, Rishikesh, we become completely purified. This was one of the greatest historical moments in the history of all time. And the water that collected from that Abhishekam is Govinda Kund. And as all the devatas left, the little cowherd boys, they came and saw all this paraphernalia, and they just had fun. They put Balaram on the throne next to Krishna, and they started offering artis and fanning him with heavenly chamaras, and they were having such fun. They were joking with Krishna. They didn't see him as God. They just saw him as a friend, and all this They're little cowherd boys and all this heavenly paraphernalia for worships all over the place. So for them, it was just play. And when the demigods looked and saw how the gopas were playing with Krishna, the intimacy, the sweetness of their love, the devatas and the sages and the rishis realized, in comparison, we have no love at all. This is Vrindavan. And then Nanda and Yashoda came. And they offer the arti to Krishna. In Vatsalya Rasa, loving parental affection. That is Govinda Kund. And it's on the banks of Govinda Kund, according to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Madhavendra Puri was approached by a little cowherd boy and brought him some milk. He said, in this village of mine, Krishna was in disguise. He said, nobody goes hungry. Some people, they beg for food and we supply them food. Some people are so humble they don't even beg like you, so I've personally come to supply it. Because some of the neighboring ladies, these Brijabasis, were at a well close by. They were coming to Govinda Kund even to collect water. And they told me that you've been sitting here just chanting all day long without eating anything, so I've come to give you some milk. I'll come back to collect the pot. He drank the milk. And when he drank the milk, he became very intoxicated. It was very special milk. Not intoxicated like people like to get intoxicated. Intoxicated with love, with gratitude, with devotion. And then he chanted, and that little boy came back and revealed to him the deity of Gopal on the banks of Govinda Kund. And Shyamdasji from the literatures of the Sri Sampradaya, beautiful, beautiful stories of how Srinathji appeared. Srinathji's inconceivable, unlimited, and incredible, and can appear to many people in many ways. Especially, he's very, very great, empowered expansions and devotees. Not far from Govinda Kund is Chandra Sarovar. During the springtime, Krishna performs his Ras Lila with Sri Radha and the Sakis and the Manjaris and the Gopis at Govardhan Hill. During the autumn season of Kartik, the Ras Lila is in the Vrindavan area of Bamsivat. And during the spring season, at Govardhan. This Chandra Sarovar and many of the other Lilas and caves and kuns here and Sarovars of Govardhan are the intimate places where Krishna has the most loving exchanges with his gopis. And since Krishna appeared in the dynasty of Chandra, the moon, when the full moon rose, in order to facilitate Krishna and the gopis' loving lila, through his rays filled Chandra Sarovar with nectar. The nectar of whose fragrance and taste was there simply to facilitate deeper, more pleasing experience of Ras Lila. As Chandra, through his moonlight, through his nectar, participated. And it was there at Chandra Sarovar, where the Ras Lila is eternally taking place, that the great Vaishnav poet Suradas performed his bhajan and wrote so many of his beautiful prayers. Not far from there is a place called Paita. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita a wonderful leela that took place there. At one time during the Ras Leela, Krishna left Sri Radha and Gopis and was hiding from them. Sambhog and Vipralamba, the dynamics of prema or love. That when there's the meeting, it intensifies the experience of the love, the prema. And in separation, it only intensifies it more. And in that separation, when there's again meeting, it intensifies it. So this Sambhog and Vipralamba, the two are constantly in Vrindavan, harmonizing each other to heighten the experience of the ananda, the ecstasy of Krishna and all of the devotees. So Krishna was hiding, and the gopis were searching for him, and they found him. They saw him. He was sitting near Paita under a tree, and Krishna, he was right there. So as they was running toward him, he manifested his form of four-armed Narayan. And the gopis, seeing that it was Narayan, the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, who is the Lord of all lords, who's the source of everything that exists, who is the controller of all controllers. They were disappointed, because you can't have Ras Leela with Narayan. Did you ever see any paintings of girls dancing with four-armed Narayan? That's not his, it's not his bhava. So the gopis, they bowed down to Lord Narayan. They bowed down, and Narayan said, I will give you whatever blessing you want. What blessing do you want? Because he's Varadraj. He's the giver of blessings. They said, there's only one blessing we wish from you. Please tell us which way Krishna went. So Narayan, with his four hands, he went this way. So gopis ran that way, looking for Krishna. They didn't care anything for Narayan, because this Aishwarya bhava, the bhava of loving God because of his supreme, majestic, controlling, ruling power of the source of all universes, the king of all spiritual worlds. From the perspective of Vrindavan bhakti, it cripples the relationship. In Vrindavan, Raghunath Das Goswami writes that Krishna is pleased when saints and pure devotees are chanting hymns in glorification of the Supreme Lord from the Vedas. But Krishna feels 10 million times more pleasure than hearing the Vedic hymns chanted by completely pure-hearted saintly rishis and devas. 10 million times more when the Brijabasi ladies chastise him with harsh words. That is Vrindavan. This is the secret of the highest, most intimate revelations of all the great scriptures of the world. So the gopis know who Narayan is. They love him as the Supreme Lord. But their only real desire is to give pleasure to Krishna. who's their lover and their friend. So they ran looking for Krishna. And then Sri Radharani came and she asked Narayan, he said, what blessing would you like? And she said, please tell me where Krishna is. And looking at Sri Radharani and feeling the love of her heart, Krishna is conquered by love. Krishna tried to maintain that disguise, but in the presence of Srimati Radharani, two of his arms with the conch shell and the lotus and the club and the chakra, they just melted away. And his flute appeared in his hands. Conquered by Sri Radha's love. And then he continued the beautiful Ras Lila in Govardhan Hill in the moonlit nights. There's a temple a little bit on the hill of Doka Dauji. And this is a murti of Lord Balaramji. Because he was wandering around Govardhan Hill and he happened to be looking over from this particular place toward Chandra Sarovar and the Rasa Stali. And he saw the beautiful dancing of Radha and Gopis and Krishna. And he became so stunned. He crouched down in a special crouching position and just watched. And he was so absolutely, totally absorbed in loving feelings, mesmerized by seeing Krishna's beautiful dance, in his absorption in seeing Krishna and meditating on Krishna and loving Krishna, his beautiful white complexion, which is like a spring cloud, became dark like a monsoon cloud. In his absorption in Krishna, he took on the same complexion of Krishna. And he is squatting in that little temple of Doka Dauji even today, watching the eternal Leela of Sri Krishna. As we move further in our parikrama, we pass by Shankarshan Kund, which is dedicated to Sri Balaramji, who expands himself as the whole Braj Bhumi to facilitate the loving pastimes of Krishna and all the devotees. Then we come to Apsara Kund. And close to Apsara Kund is Punchari Kund or Navala Kund. According to Puranas, we read that 24 of the incarnations or avatars of Krishna, like Matsya, Varaha, Narasingha, Ramchandra, they are eternally performing pastimes on the banks of Apsara Kund. In fact, when Krishna would herd his cows on Giriraj with his little friends, the gopas, on the banks of Apsara Kund, he would reveal to them his different incarnations just to give them happiness. And still, even though they're seeing Krishna become Varahadev, they're seeing Krishna become all these different avatars and playing these different leelas, instead of worshiping him as God himself, they just played with him in these forms. Krishna took the form of Ram to build the bridge across the Indian Ocean in the form of Apsara Kund, and the little gopas all took the forms and the moods of monkeys, and they were all helping Krishna in the form of Ram, and Balaram became Lakshman to make this beautiful bridge. And when Krishna would be with the gopis during the Rasa Leela, it is described that in the gopis' ecstasy of love for Krishna, Sri Radha and gopis, their bodies are not material. Their bodies are actually manifestations of prema. This is a very, very mystical understanding of the highest truths of the spiritual world. Brahma Samhita tells Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha, that Krishna, who is the supreme controller of all controllers, his body is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. In the material world, the body and the soul are different. The soul is just residing within a particular body made out of the 8 material elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ahankar, ego. But in the spiritual world, the body and the soul are non-different. The body is the manifestation which facilitates the love of the soul. It is the love of, it is the form of the soul, of the love of that person. So the gopis, in their love for Krishna, in the Ras Leela, sometimes their hearts would melt in such deep ecstasy of love that their bodies would melt as well. And in reciprocation, Krishna, as his heart melted, his body also melted into rasa. Sara and rasa. And the gopis' love filled Apsara Kund, and Krishna's love filled Navala Kund. And when we go to these places, just by seeing them, just by offering our prayers and our devotion, by sprinkling some drops of water or by bathing, we are literally becoming sanctified, purified, and blessed by the supreme prema of Radha, Krishna, and the gopis as they are eternally performing their rasa lila on the aprakata platform, the eternal platform on the banks of Navala and Apsara Kund. Our acharyas tell us that Giriraj Govardhan is shaped like a peacock. And there are different explanations by different acharyas of which parts of the peacocks there are. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the face of Govardhan is Kusum Srovar. The eyes are Radha Kund, Shama Kund. The neck is Dangati. The tail is Navala Kund, Punchari. As we carry on, we pass by in the temple of Lord Narasingha Dev. Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells us how Gaudiya Vaishnavas worship Narasingha Dev. Hiranyakashipu was a great obstacle for Prahlad Maharaj and for the whole world. But the Hiranyakashipu of anartas, which are the greatest, anartas means our own selfish, egoistic desires, the envy of the heart. We pray to Lord Narasingha Dev to remove those impediments so that the natural flow of Braj Bhakti can be offered to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. So we pass Narasingha Dev's Mandir on a little hill, and we come to Punchari Kalota Baba, very popular temple in Vrindavan. Did all of you have darshan of Sri Lota Punchari Kalota Baba during the parikrama? Lota Baba is a cowherd boy from the Govardhan area. And one day he cooked bhoga for Krishna and Balaram. And was waiting for Krishna and Balaram to come to offer. But on that particular day, Krishna and Balaram were with Akrura going to Mathura. Lota Baba said, "I prepared prasad for you. Please have my prasad." And Krishna said, I will return the day after tomorrow. And Lota Baba said, "I will not eat anything. I will not drink anything until you return. I will be sitting right here without moving." And he's still sitting there without moving, waiting for Krishna to return. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he expressed the nature of love and separation. Sunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. That, my dear Lord, feeling separation from you, a single moment seems like 12 years or more. And without the beautiful vision of you, Govinda, this entire jagat, this entire universe, is nothing but a dreary void. This is love and separation. And our acharyas tell us that this is the highest ecstasy, because it's the most intensified form of love. Lota Baba taught us patience. Now, as you can tell, sometimes I kind of wander off the direct parikrama path in the form of the stories I'm telling. But what to do? Where my heart guides me, my mouth somehow or other speaks like that. So please forgive me. In Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, Mukunda Dutt, it's a long story, but our Lord Gauranga was giving all blessings and benedictions and darshans to all of his devotees, except Mukunda. Because the Lord did not approve of certain things that Mukunda was doing, how he was associating with people. And the devotees, even though all of their devotees, all of their desires were fulfilled, to Murari Gupta, who is an avatar of Hanuman, Lord Chaitanya revealed himself as Ram. And Murari saw next to Ram was Sita and Lakshman. And then Murari saw that he himself had a tail. And he realized, "I'm Hanuman." To Kolavecha Sridhar, he manifested himself as Krishna Balaram. Everyone was so happy. But the nature of a devotee is paradukaduki. Devotees love each other. And another person receiving mercy is at least as important to myself as getting mercy myself. There was an unlimited monsoon downpour of mercy pouring upon all the devotees. but not even a drop was touching Mukunda. So Srivas, he begged Lord Chaitanya, why don't you give your mercy to Mukunda? Punish him, do anything, but don't ignore him. Lord Chaitanya said, I don't want to see the face of that man. And Mukunda heard this, and he was afraid to come before the Lord. He was weeping and crying. His heart was totally crushed, and he cried out, will I ever, ever be able to see the Lord? And Srivas said, Mukunda, what has he done when he sings kirtan? He brings so much life and so much happiness to all of our hearts, even you, my Lord. What has he done? Will he ever get to see you again? And the Lord said in a very thunderous voice, he will see me only after 10 million births. And when Mukunda heard this, he became ecstatic. He started dancing and crying in joy. In only 10 million births, I will get to see the Lord again. And when the Lord saw, what is the nature of his love? Sometimes we take things so cheaply. We've been chanting some japa, doing some kirtan, doing some puja, mudra, yantra, mantra, tantra for maybe 10 years or 20 years or 30 years or 40 years. We may live to 50 years. And we're thinking, why am I not seeing Krishna? What is this bhakti? I've given up so much. I've done so much. Things are not going my way and I'm not seeing Krishna. Rupa Goswami tells, what are the qualities of sharanagati, surrender? Enthusiasm and patience. One without the other will not be successful. If we're just patient, we don't get anywhere. If we're just enthusiastic, then when we don't get what we want when we want it, we lose hope, we become discouraged, or we lose faith, and we give up. Krishna, I've done so much for you. What are you going to do for me? This is not bhakti. Ashlisyava padaratam panashtu mama darshanam. Lord Chaitanya in his Shikshastakam taught, what is surrender? My Lord, if you want, you can embrace me. My Lord, if you want, you can trample on me. My Lord, if you want, you can make me heartbroken by not being present before me. You are free to deal with me in any way you want, because I am your servant unconditionally. This is bhakti. Mukunda was dancing. Only 10 million births. What a small price to see the Lord. And he was so happy. Lord Chaitanya saw his happiness. He said, bring him immediately. And the devotees went to Mukunda and said, the Lord wants you to show himself to you now. And Mukunda was so much in the trance of the happiness that in only 10 million births he was going to get the opportunity to see the Lord. He was not in this world. He was just dancing, Hare Krishna, and only 10 million births, Hare Krishna, only 10 million births. No, now, only 10 million births. Come on, please, only 10 million births. And they had to pick him up and put him right in front of the Lord. And the Lord revealed his darshan. And Sri Chaitanya said to Mukunda Dutt, I wanted to show the world the quality of your devotion. And Mukunda, he was so humble, he offered prayers. He said, I have no devotion. What is the use of my seeing you?
Kamsa saw you, but he wasn't happy. Hiranyakashipu saw you, but he wasn't happy. Hiranyaksha saw you, but he wasn't happy. Shishupal saw you, but he wasn't happy. Our goal is not to see you, Lord. Our goal is to please you by our love. Kupja, that simple flower, that little simple hunchback woman, she saw you and became happy. Sudama, the florist, he saw you and became happy. Why Kamsa had no happiness? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, our Param Guru, told us, do not try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna so that Krishna is pleased to see you. Lota Baba, his love, the intensity of his love. 5,000 years, he doesn't eat, he doesn't drink, he just waits for Krishna. Whatever you offer him, he just keeps it for Krishna. And the Brijabasis consider him none different than Hanuman, because that's the same spirit of Hanuman. Everything and anything for Ram. And Krishna, he will reveal himself to us when, with love, we sincerely cry out his holy name. Whether Krishna wants to reveal himself today, or in one birth, or two births, or 10 million births, doesn't matter. Our love is we will go on chanting, go on hearing Shravanam Kirtanam, and go on doing Sevanam service for Krishna's pleasure. If he wants me in this material world, if he wants me in hell, if he wants me in heaven, if he wants me in Vaikuntha, and if he wants me in Goloka Vrindavan, I'm happy to serve anywhere. That is our prayer. The gopis in Raslila, they showed such surrender. When Krishna played the fifth hole of the flute Bamsi, under the Bamsiva tree, or here at Rasa Stali at Govardhan, the gopis, they didn't consider anything. Just as Nanda and Yashoda and the cowherd men and ladies, they were willing to risk everything to please Krishna by offering Indra's puja to Govardhan. On an even higher and deeper level, the gopis left their homes, left their families, left their reputations, went into the middle of the night, into the jungle, just to give pleasure to Krishna. Sharanagati. And that beautiful story. Krishna had a headache. And he told Narada Muni, get the dust of the feet of the gopis to apply to my head. They collected their dust and said, bring it, bring it. And Narada Muni said, don't you know what's going to happen for putting your feet on Krishna's head? The gopis said, yes, of course. If we have to go to hell for the rest of eternity, that will be our greatest happiness, if it gives even one moment of relief for Krishna from his headache. This is not just figurative poetry. This is the nature of the selfless love of the gopis. So we pray to Puncheri
Kalotababa, for this love, surrender, with enthusiasm and patience. And we carry on, and we come to the Manikundali cave of Raghava Pandit. According to the Gauragona Dashtipika, Raghava Pandit is Champaklata, one of the 8 Sakhi maidservants of Sri Radharani in the eternal Leela. And he lived, he was very, very best friends with Raghunath Das Goswami, who was living at Radhakund. And there, in this little cave, he would perform his bhajan, meditating on Krishna's loving lila in the core of his heart, and constantly participating in the eternal lila of the Lord as he chanted the holy names. Golokira Premadana Harinam Sankirtana. That this Krishna Nam, this Maha Mantra, it has descended from the spiritual world of Goloka. Just as Vrindavan has descended into Goloka to Gokula, just as Radha Krishna's eternal Leelas descend here, Krishna's holy name, in the name of Krishna and Sri Radha, we could realize and have direct experience of their eternal forms, their qualities, their characteristics, their pastimes, their dham, their abode. And it's also revealed to us our eternal pastimes within that lila. Everything can be revealed through the 2 syllables, Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, they stayed with Raghava Pandit in his cave near Punchuri. And Raghava Pandit took them on Govardhan Parikrama and Parikrama of the entire Braj Mandala. And that has been recorded in the Bhakti Ratnakar. We go a little further, and we find the place for the Surabhi Kund. And then we carry on to Rudra Kund, where it is said Lord Shiva, in his ecstasy of seeing the beautiful pastimes of Radha Krishna pass, cried torrents of tears to fill that lake. And then we approach Jatipura. And we are so fortunate we have a resident of Jatipura here tonight. Shamdas Ji, Hari Hari. From the Gaudiya Sampradaya's perspective, on the hill just above Jatipura is where the temple of Gopal or Srinathji was. And Madhavendra Puri lived there at Jatipur. In the Pushti Bharg, Sripad Vallabhacharya has his baitak, where the Mukharavinda of the mouth of Govardhan is present. And I think the day before yesterday, we saw how hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kilos of milk is offered every day. I remember the first time I did Govardhan Parikrama. This was in 1971. It was a very, very happy but shocking experience for me. Because I come from Illinois, which is a state of America in the Midwest.
And Midwest people are considered in America to be quite simple and conservative type people. At least this is what West Coast people are considered really wild. And East Coast people are considered very, very expert at whatever they do. And Midwest people like me, we're kind of like, you know, grow corn and stuff like that. Simple people. So anyways, I took this Govardhan Parikrama and I got to Jatipuram. And there were people just pouring and pouring and pouring constantly milk. Hundreds and hundreds of kilos. I was just standing there watching. And then I would go down the street. This is in 1971. The gutters? You know what gutters are? What's the word in Hindi for gutter? Huh? Dali? Nali. The Nali. Where, you know, usually the sewage flows and the water flows and on the side of the road. In America, first of all, you don't have sewage flowing in the side of the road. It is all meticulously, immaculately happening underground. You never see anyone in America accidentally stepping into a sewage nully. Yes, it's all underground. Very high, sophisticated sanitation system. But here it's right on the side of the road with all of its colors and fragrances. And you really have to watch how you walk. But anyways, I had already been traveling around India for over a year, so I was very accustomed to these nullies on the side of the road, of all gutters and sewage and all other stuff creeping and... I don't want to go too off the parikrama path. But I just remember one time, not one time, I remember so many times, but I'm going to tell you one time where there was this thick, foamy, black sewage flowing in this nully, this gutter. And it smelled so disgusting. And I had to walk along this gutter. And then I saw this family of hogs. A mother and about five or six little baby hogs. Baby hogs look really sweet, actually. Somehow or other, anything that's small is kind of sweet in this world. The mothers, you have to be a male hog to appreciate. But even a human can appreciate the babies. Anyways, this mother, she dove right into this sewage. And the little hoglets dove in after her and they were gulping it. And they were swimming and she was spraying it on them and they were spraying on each other. And they were just having such a good time drinking. And nectar was all over their bodies and they came out. And then some of the little hoglets were licking the sewage off the hairs of their mother because they just wanted more. Why did I tell that story? I guess I told it just so that the contrast between the material world and spiritual world is more graphic. So here I am at Jatipura, my first Giriraj Parikrama. And I'm just seeing this Abhishek going on for about an hour. I was standing there watching this Abhishek. I was mystified at Jatipura. And then as I'm going down the street, I saw the gutters filled with milk. which was coming off Giriraj. They were bathing the Shila, and some of it were catching right there, but most of it was just coming right down into the gutters and flowing. And I was thinking, this is opulence. Pure Vrijabasi cow milk is flowing through the sewage canals. Even in Indra Loka, you don't get such wealth like this. And just then to confirm the happiness of my heart, I saw Vrijabasis with their little lotas and pots scooping up the milk from the nalis, the gutters, and drinking it. Nothing like those hogs. They were actually drinking nectar. Because they were saying, this is Charanamrit. Gutters of Charanamrit. Drinking and drinking and drinking. And believe it or not, I didn't have a lota. But I got down with my hands. I realized I'm 10,000 miles away from those cornfields in Illinois. And drank that milk from the gutters of Jatipura. And it was nectar. The nectar of Charanamrit. On this, just at Mukharavinda, is the Samadhi Mandir of Vitalnath, the eldest son of Sripad Ballabhacharya, who was great, great pujari of Srinathji, who was very, very great Vaishnavacharya. And according to Gaudiya Vaishnav literatures, he and the Gaudiya Acharyas at the time were intimate, loving, best friends who shared their love and their devotion in so many ways. And then just across from Mukharavinda is a baitak of Sripad Ballabhacharya. And Shamdasji, were you saying that that one Shila that you, Dandavat Shila, if you go around that Shila seven times with devotion and offer your Dandavat pranams, all the offenses that you've committed during Govardhan Parikrama, in fact, you get the credit of performing the full Govardhan Parikrama just by doing that. And Shamdasji, would you like to tell us something about that Shila? Come, come. Let us welcome Shamdasji to our yatra.
Jai Shri Krishna. Yeah. It is a great honor to be here, to see all these bhaktas, to listen to the Vachinamrit, the Tavakatamritam Tapta Jivanam, Sri Sri Radhanath Maharaj Ki Jai. I am overwhelmed by the beauty of the whole situation. It's as if the 40 years of my residence on this sacred hill has finally blossomed by having the darshan of all of you amazing people. Ye hamara Charlie Salka jo maine Brajvas kiya hai, ye aaj hi humko fully boot mil gaya hai, darshan matra, ye sab katamrit sunne se. So I will stick to English. So that Dandavati Shila, as we hear, it's Dandavati. It's Dandavat, which means to bow, which means to take your head and to place it humbly on the sands of the Govardhan Hill, Tereti, as it's called, the land that is surrounding this most sacred of places where the spring Rasalila has taken place. This Dandavat, where you literally become Danda or Vat, you become like a stick, Danda and Vat, like. And what does a stick do? If you put it up, if you stand it up, it falls straight down. And that's the Swabhava. That is the nature of the Bhakta. The Bhakta is always bowing down to everything, especially here in Braj. Jojo Vastu Brajame Sosa Bhagavad Rup. Everything that is in this sacred land of Braj, whether it be the trees on the Govardhan Hill that are enlightened rishis from another age who have decided that they would become stitta, they would become established here on the Govardhan Hill so that they could behold the Nitya Leela of Lord Krishna. And so on that Dandavati Shila, which is the Shila itself, represents two things. Not only is it Haridas Varya, which means the best of all the Haridas followers, but the Govardhan Hill is also the form of the Lord himself. And so this Dvidalatmik Sarup, these two divine forms existing simultaneously within a single substance that is represented in the Shila. It's not represented, it is the thing itself. The Giriraj Shilas present to us the perfect form of being a Bhakta as well as the form of Krishna himself. And so by doing seven prakramas, encirclings around this sacred stone, the Shila, one receives, as Maharaj has explained, not only is one purified, but one has attained the fruit of walking around the sacred hill. And what's interesting is that in the Bhakti Marga, we are not interested in Swarga. We are not interested in Mukti. We are not interested in Bhukti, nor do we have any hankering for any sort of siddhis, as Maharaj Sri has been explaining to us, that we desire the seva of Bhagavan. We desire to please the Blessed One. So in circling this Shila seven times, we receive the fruit of being a das. Not only of being a das, but being a das, anudas, anudas, anudas. And I know of no greater reward than to serve the threefold sarup of Hari, Guru, and Vaishnava. To be the anudas, to be the follower of the bhakta, to take the dust of this most sacred realm and to put it upon our heads. And so I will not take much of your time. There's a very famous pada, and it goes like this. Tareti Sri Govardhan Meireye Nitaprati Madana Gopala Lalake Charana Kamala Chitaleye Tanapulakita Braja Rajame Lota Govinda Govinda Kundame Neye Rasika Pritama Hitachitaki Bate Giridari Sokeye. The translation is Govardhan Meireye Tareti Sri. Let me somehow. I myself spend 6-7 months wandering in the West, teaching, living there. I consider the fruit of anything that I have done there is that I could stay here for 5 minutes. So Tareti Sri Govardhan Meireye, reside by the side of this Govardhan Hill. If you can't stay here more than 5 or 6 days, you can always reside here by doing the Mansi Seva, by doing the inner contemplation of these rare moments that we have spent here. So Tareti Sri Govardhan Meireye, remain here by the Haridas Varya, by the Sarupa of Krishna himself. Nitya Prati Madana Gopala Lalake Charana Kamala Chitaleye. So that every moment of my life, my chit, that my consciousness will become Krishna-fied. I will become Krishna-conscious. Nitya Prati Madana Gopala Lalake Charana Kamal. I want to remain by those lotus feet. That is where my mind should remain, so that I can stay in the Sharagati mode of being enthusiastic and patient. Well, I learned so much today. I understood what Sharanagati is today, because Sharanagati is not passive. Like, oh, I am under your shelter. Sort of like someone's being held up with a gun. That is not Sharanagati. Sharanagati has enthusiasm in it. That is always increasing every moment. It has patience. What a brilliant explanation. So Charanakama Chitaleye, and then the result of that, Tanapulakita Vraja Rajame Lotata, Madlava, Ki iski jo bhakti ka jo apna bhajan kiya, is bhakti bhav apna prabhu ko samarpan kiya, iski, there has to be a result. And the result is tanapulkit. The body bristles with joy, as they call it, romancha. Every pore of the body then becomes Krishnified. Tanapulakita braja rajame lotat. And then what do? You fall down on the ground and you roll around in a heightened, maddened state. Ikdam must ho gaya braja rajame lotat apne Krishna ka yad karke aur sab vastu ko bhul jana yako nam nirod. Prapanch vis smriti evam bhagavat asakti sab bekar vastu ko bhul jana aur jo mool tattva ko yad karna. To forget everything that is unrelated. And to be completely absorbed in the rus of Krishna, that is the reward. It is anayasa, it is effortless. Braja rajame lotata, and then what do? Govinda kundame neye. And then I take a bath in the Govind lake, where I absorb more of that rus. It's like wherever you look, it is just Krishna. Age Krishna, Pache Krishna, Itta Krishna, Utta Krishna, Jitta Deko, Itta Krishna Mai. To the right, to the left, up, down, everywhere in this land of Braj. Yesab Bhagavad Rup. It is all the forms of the Blessed Lord. Rasika Pritama Hitta Chitta Ki Bhate, says Hariraji, who was a great acharya in the Pushtamarga line, who wrote copious text on Braj. Rasika Pritam, he says, to this beloved Rasik, to the supreme connoisseur of all moods, Sri Krishna, Rasika Pritam, hita chitta ki bate, I am going to have dialogue with this supreme being, hita chitta ki bate, that will create more seva, so that I will be able to serve better, and I will tell to that blessed one directly, I will speak directly to Giridhar, who held the mountain to support and protect his bhaktas, to lead them from any extraneous ashrayas, taking their minds and pulling all of their minds and hearts directly to him without any effort through the lila itself. So I have transgressed in speaking for too long. I truly want to listen to Maharaj's Vachanamrit, but I feel very honored that I was given a space to speak a bit about Dandavati Shila and the glories of the Govardhan Hill. Jai Jai Sri Jai Shama.
That was an experience like bathing in Govinda Kund 108 times. And doing 7 million parikramas around Dandavati Shila. Should we end here? Usually when I ask that question, it means I'm not ready to end yet. But it means a little more patience. And then we will perform Nam Sankirtan. From Jatipuram, we carry on a beautiful forest. On our right side is magnificent, munificent darshan of Sri Giriraj. And we come to Uddhava Kund. After Lord Krishna departed from this planet, after putting a close to his lila, the queens of Krishna from Dwarka, how to live in separation. They came to Vrindavan, to Mathura, and the Yamuna. And Yamuna Devi explained how when Krishna left with Akrura for Mathura, Sri Radha and Gopis were in such unbearable anguish of love and separation. And Krishna sent Uddhava, his closest, dearmost friend from Mathura and later Dwarka, for two reasons, essentially. One, to pacify the gopis' hearts with his message. And also, so that Uddhava himself could understand the supermost nature of the love of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Our beloved senior godbrother, His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj, was telling us the other day that there are three primary examples of Haridas Bharya: Maharaj Yudhisthira, Uddhavaji, and Sri Giriraj. And of the three, Giriraj, according to Sri Radha and the gopis, is the greatest devotee of Krishna, who gives the highest pleasure to the Lord. Because of Uddhava's intimate, loving relationship with Krishna, he was practically his constant companion in almost any issue. Krishna would consult Uddhava and take his words very seriously. They would often sit together, relax together, eat together, go to the royal assemblies together, take walks together. They were best of friends. Krishna wanted to reveal to Uddhava the deepest devotion. So he sent him with a message to the Brijvasis. When Uddhava came to Vrindavan, he met with Nanda Maharaj, and he saw Yashoda Mai and the cowherd men and the cowherd boys and the gopis. It was inconceivable. Practically 24 hours a day, they were just weeping in love, crying out Krishna's names, discussing Krishna's beautiful leelas. They were keeping each other alive by reminding each other of Krishna. Sri Radharani, she would weep such incessant tears near Uddhava Kyari, where he met them in Nandagaon. Such tears, she would make a big puddle in the ground, then she would fall into that puddle in a faint, and the fever of her love and separation would immediately dry up the water.
When Uddhava saw the nature of their love, he came to the conclusion that in comparison, I have no love for Krishna. In comparison, even the greatest bhaktas of Vaikuntha, and higher than Vaikuntha, Mathura and Dwarka, our love is practically formality compared to the depths of the intensity of the ecstasy of the love of any of the residents of Vrindavan. He saw some of the cowherd boys practically standing like statues, just waiting for Krishna to come, constantly chanting his names and leelas. And Nanda and Yashoda, all they could do was ask about Krishna in such depths of separation. Uddhava said, Nanda Maharaj, there is no one more fortunate than you. And Nanda said, what, you small, immature child, are you saying? You call us fortunate? If a poor person, starving in poverty, gains a priceless jewel and doesn't understand the value of that jewel, and due to that neglect, loses it, that person is not fortunate. That person is most unfortunate. We had the most precious of all jewels, but we didn't appreciate, but now we lost him. We are the most unfortunate. What could Uddhava say? He just wanted to take the dust of the feet of Nanda Maharaj on his head. And at Uddhavakyari, where he met Sri Radha and Gopis, where the Brahmar Gita was spoken, Srimati Radharani, in the ecstasy of her love, she saw a black bumblebee and considered it a message of Krishna, and was revealing the nature of the heart of her love to that bumblebee. And when Uddhava witnessed this, he prayed millions of times higher service to Krishna than I could do as his most intimate associate in Mathura. Is to take the dust of the feet of the gopas and the gopis of Vrindavan on my head. But Uddhava was a royal prince, direct disciple of Brihaspati, best friend of Lord Krishna. It would be so embarrassing to the gopis as simple cowherd girls if such a person were to take dust from their feet. Uddhava Kund, Uddhava, he performed tapasya and prayer so that he could take birth as a little creeper coming out of the ground, a clump of grass, so that the gopis or even the maidservants of the gopis would place their feet on his head, knowing that unless we get the blessings and the mercy of the residents of Vrindavan, we cannot develop that love. This was his highest ambition and greatest treasure. And on the banks of Kusum Sarovar, just across from Uddhava Kund, there is the Uddhava Baitak, where Vajranab, the great grandson of Lord Krishna, installed the murti of Uddhava. And in that place, in that area, near Kusum Srovar's banks, Uddhava's prayer was fulfilled. He is eternally residing as a gulmalata, a simple patch of grass, where he's meditating on the beautiful leelas of Radha and Krishna and receiving the dust of the feet of the gopis and the gopas on his head. When the queens heard how Uddhava pacified the gopis in his visit, they were directed to that place, and they performed Nam Kirtan along with Bhadranab very loudly in great ecstasy. They understood that Uddhava would reveal himself if with pure unalloyed love and devotion they chant Krishna and Radha's holy names. It was very deep. It was of the highest urgency. It was life or death. This was the spirit in which they raised their arms and called out the holy names. And from the blade of grass, the gulmalata, vroom, Uddhava appeared. And for 30 days spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. And at the culmination, because the culmination of Srimad Bhagavatam is that we could remove all of our past sins and we can attain the ultimate perfection of life by simply chanting the holy names of Lord Hari. He mesmerized them with his loving explanation of Krishna's leelas. And at the conclusion, Krishna personally appeared before all of them, completely fulfilling all of their desires, conquering their hearts, and Krishna took them all back home, back to Godhead. These are some of the pastimes that took place at Uddhava Kund. And tomorrow we will discuss Sri Radha Kund and continue our Govardhan Parikrama. In Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, in Jagannath Puri, in the Gambira, when he was experiencing Sri Radha's love and separation from Lord Govinda, his intimate associates, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Ramananda Rai, they would constantly sing beautiful kirtans, recite beautiful pastimes, Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan. On a personal level, this was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's deepest contribution to show the world the nature of Radha's love for Krishna. And he shared that kirtan with the world. Shikshastakam, the eight prayers, they sprung from the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that most intimate, deepest state of Mahabhava. And our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, he took such risks to make that in the mood of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, to make that mercy accessible to everyone and anyone. And it is by that grace that we are all assembled together to open our ears and open our hearts to hear these beautiful pastimes of Sri Giriraj. And now we will celebrate by joyously. When I speak joyously, for a devotee to give joy to each other is Govardhan's example of how to give joy to Krishna. We may feel tired. We may still have sore feet from our parikrama, and we may be coughing all sorts of holy, sacred, sanctified dust. Such opulence. The demigods, to get a speck of dust of Braj on their heads is something that's almost unattainable. And we have it all over our heads and all over our bodies and deeply rooted in our lungs. It's like drowning in nectar. But Giriraj is teaching us that by inspiring other devotees, by facilitating other people to love Krishna and to serve Krishna, is the greatest way that we can give pleasure to Krishna. In kirtan, we are enthusiastic. Not because I feel enthusiastic, but because I'm going to be enthusiastic. If I feel like it, that's fantastic. And if I don't feel like it, that's also fantastic. To inspire everyone else, to serve everyone else, let me loudly chant the holy names. Let me sincerely vibrate with all my heart, calling out for Krishna's blessings to shower upon all of us. This is Sankirtan. Together. We are all chanting for each other and for the whole world. Thank you very, very much. Yadubhar Prabhu, would you like to lead kirtan? Please come.